Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
With the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears coming at you here on this Wednesday morning. Very cold Wednesday morning, Wednesday, January the 17th, 2024. 3 degrees here in Marion. Sunny skies, but 3 degrees. It looks very nice out there this morning, but 3 degrees. And very quickly, I do want to mention on our news report this morning, I'm sure it just hasn't been updated. It says Marion City Schools is operating on a two-hour delay. About an hour ago, a little over an hour ago, they did cancel classes today, pretty much along with every other school district in the area. Now, if there's one that's still open, somebody can let me know. I did not check on them all this morning. But it looks as if most schools are closing for the day due to the temperatures, I think, this morning that we are having. Now, I will say that we all expected some kind of snow tomorrow. I don't know if it was supposed to be some kind of snowfall or accumulation or what it was supposed to be, but the weather report I looked at this morning looks as if the snow has moved on to Friday, and even on Friday, it doesn't look like anything. It looks like maybe in the afternoon for a couple hours, there might be some snow and really no accumulation. So at this point, it looks like the snow prediction for Thursday and even into Friday seems to have disappeared. So that's a good thing, I guess. So we'll have frigid temperatures this morning, but by the afternoon today, we're supposed to be up in the 20s, and I don't think we've been in the 20s since Saturday. So this could feel like a halfway decent warm day as the day progresses. And tomorrow, I think it's supposed to be in the 20s all day. As opposed to where we've been the last few days. And Friday, pretty much the same thing. Saturday and Sunday get a little colder again, but then Monday I think maybe we'll be out of this polar vortex. I think somebody said earlier in the week that we're in the middle of this polar vortex. So that's where we are. So right off the bat, I just wanted to mention that the Marion City Schools have closed. They're not on a two-hour delay anymore. And pretty well all the other schools in the area have closed as well. You know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday about Marion City Schools closing. Because when Doc Brown was the superintendent of Marion City Schools, there always was this thing about him not closing schools. And even through the Dr. Thede days in the 90s and 2000s, Marion City Schools did not close very often at all. Well, one of the reasons for that was there were a lot more schools in the district. We had 3 middle schools, and there were a lot more elementary schools. Well, a lot of kids in Marion City Schools now are bused to school, and that did not used to be the case. So I think that's one of the reasons that school now cancels more often than they used to, because it's just too cold to stand at the bus stop when it's 3 degrees and wind chill is negative whatever. Although, I have a love-hate relationship with wind chill. I have a love-hate relationship with heat index. Because I don't know how they get that number, and I don't even know if it's a real thing. Because to be honest with you, let's say you're somebody in your 20s. Now, depending on what you weigh and your age, I think the wind is going to affect you differently than it affects other people. If you live in a neighborhood where there are houses all around you, I think the wind is going to affect you differently than maybe if you live in an open field. I don't really know where these numbers come from. I think it's an odd thing to say it's 3 degrees, but it feels like 20 below. I don't know how you figure that out, to be honest. Now, it may feel like 20 below for some people. It may feel like 30 below for some people. But it may feel like 5 below for some people. And I'm not sure what the exact calculation is on that. I've looked at the calculations for this, and it seems kind of strange how they come up with it. But who am I to argue with a meteorologist? I'm not a meteorologist. I just usually like to say, listen, it's 3 degrees. To me, that sounds bitter enough. I mean, 32 degrees is freezing. So 3 degrees, that's pretty cold. And probably a good idea for schools to cancel for kids who have to go stand at the bus stop or walk to school and walk a great distance to school, because not everybody does get a ride to school. But the next 2 days don't look bad right now, although that can change on a dime. So we'll see what happens. By the way, phone lines are open today, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind this morning. We would love to talk about it. We've had some interesting conversations on this show the past few mornings, and I enjoy that. I love talking about anything. We can talk about local government. We can talk about the groundhog. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about anything on your mind. I certainly enjoy discussing just about anything. Now, something I did want to get into this morning, beyond the weather, is the interviews last week. And I'll tell you, I don't want to kind of, as they say, chew my own food again here. But as many of you know who listen to this station on a daily basis, we did the interviews last week with Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis and City Councilman Jason Schauber. And all week last week, because the interview with Miranda was on Tuesday and the interview with Jason was on Friday, all week it seemed as if I was getting a lot, I was having a lot of run-ins with people who had said they had heard the interview, thank you for doing the interview, so on and so forth. So I know a lot of people listen to these interviews. And what was interesting was yesterday, which was a week, 7 days after the interview with Miranda McGinnis, I was in the grocery store with somebody, and a gentleman came up to me, and he said, I just want to thank you for doing those interviews, keeping us in the know. I appreciate what you're doing. Keep on doing it. And really, that's how the last week has been from a lot of people who I've ran into. So what I wanted to say was, and I posted this on social media last night, I want to thank, no matter how you feel about this particular situation, I want to thank Miranda McGinnis for coming on, and I want to thank Jason Schauber for coming on and being as candid as they can be in their interviews. Because the truth of the matter is, it has nothing to do with me. The people who are saying nice things about me, I appreciate it. But the point is, if they hadn't agreed to do the interviews, there wouldn't have been much to talk about. And if they had not been as candid as they had been, there wouldn't be much to talk about. So I thank them for doing that, because to be honest with you, to come on and do an interview when things are going well, that's pretty easy. If you want to come on and talk about the good things that are going on, which I don't have a problem with, but if that's why you're coming on, that's a pretty easy interview to do. But to come on when you know things are not going as well, that's not as easy. And probably not something you really want to do. But hopefully, because you're a public official and you're elected there by the people, you do it because you feel that's an obligation that you should have. And I think Miranda and Jason both lived up to that. And there's a whole lot of other public officials who live up to that. I don't want to say that they're the only two, because I know there are others who would come on as well. Those two just happen to be involved in this particular situation. And I want to thank them, and I want to thank everybody who has said nice things. Now, I'm not going to tell you the names of the people who wrote these things, and I don't think they would be guessed anyway. But I got a couple messages yesterday after I posted this on social media that I thought you might be interested in hearing. One of these messages, and I never thought about that, but here's basically the gist of it. If city council members make $9,000 a year, and it will go up to $12,000 in 2 years, and if some only come to meetings, as I think Jason said, that's $9,000 for about 100 hours of work. That's $90 per hour. That's not bad. I don't know many people making $90 an hour, so there you go. And it would soon to be $120 per hour when the pay raises take effect in 2026, I believe that would be. So that's one message I got last night after I put the post up. And the other message was very, very nice. It says, I just listened to your interview with Jason S. I must say you did an excellent interview. I was impressed with your technique of wrestling everything out of him. Just when I think there is no media in Marion and government oversight via non-existent, you proved me wrong. And then there's some other things in here that I'm not going to get into, but that's very, very nice. But again, I really didn't do anything except show up to the interview. It really is all on Jason and Miranda, and we thank them, and we hope they'll come back again, because new questions arise every day. But I thank the private messages, and there are also some messages posted on social media that people can read on my Facebook page of what people are saying in regard to this whole episode that's going on right now in the city. And I'll tell you, it seems to me, by what I'm reading, that people want to hear from their public officials. And I think Miranda and Jason have both done that, and I think we'll continue to do it. I don't see them shying away from anything at this point, but who knows as time goes on. Well, does anybody have any thoughts on that? 740-751-4038. This is kind of where the conversation in the program ended yesterday. We were having a conversation yesterday about, do you question public officials? Not only the media, but if you work for the city, if you are just a taxpayer, do you question the public officials? And, you know, they work for you, really. I mean, their paychecks are paid out of taxpayer dollars. I think most people would say that you probably should question them if you have a question about something. You know, they're making the decisions about a lot of things that affect your life if you are a taxpayer. Now, somewhere along the line, this idea has come about that maybe we shouldn't question people, politicians. And I don't know if that's a good idea. I really think we should. Now, they can threaten things, I guess, and they can avoid people, I guess, and they can respond in a negative way, I guess. But how does that look on them? I mean, is that the look that you would want if you were an elected public official? I don't know if that's the look that you would want. I would think that you would want to answer the questions. I would think you'd take every opportunity to answer the questions, especially if people were making assertions about you that maybe you did not believe were true. I don't think the best way to handle that is to not talk. But maybe some people do. That's the way it goes. And again, 28 minutes past the hour, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But again, I thank the nice words that people have said and sent in the last week. But again, I am more apt at this point to thank the people who have come on, because I think, you know, we've learned a lot in the last 7 days together. And I think we've learned things that heretofore maybe we did not know. Now, I guess some people could say they're not true, and how do you know that they're true, and so on and so forth. And I don't know. I really don't know what's true and what's not true. But they said it, so until somebody says it's not true, we'll have to go with it. I think that's also another interesting point in this whole thing. Nobody, to my knowledge, yet has said it's not true. You know, Miranda came on now 8 days ago. Has anybody said what she said wasn't true? I don't think Jason said it wasn't true. Haven't heard from anybody else who said it wasn't true. I don't know. Certainly haven't heard that, if it happened. And I haven't heard anything in regard to Jason's interview in which somebody said it's not true what he was saying. So here we are, going down the highway again. But, you know, that's local government. But I will say that for me, this is a fascinating story because I don't think I've ever seen a story like this in the last 40 years. Certainly not in the last 20 years. Not only because it deals with the money in Marion, not only because it deals with the mayor, not only because it deals with the city council people and the auditor, because it seems as if maybe there was some dishonesty along the line somewhere in this whole situation. And I don't know in the end how that all shakes out. But that's the story. And again, if you'd like to comment on it, we can go from there. But do you think it's necessary that we hear from these people? Now, I know that political conversations are not the most interesting thing in the world to a lot of people. But do you think this story is of interest? All right. I think we got a phone call coming in here. Let's take the phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, how's the groundhog coming?
You know, as far as I know, everything's good. We've got a lot of guesses. The groundhog is ready to go. I think February 2nd is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
So,
you've got someone for the groundhog suit whose identity is hidden.
Yes, we've got somebody for the groundhog suit. The identity will be unveiled on the 2nd. We might even have special transportation for the groundhog that morning. That's still being confirmed. There might be a little bit of entertainment. I should know more about that after tonight. Oh, it's turning into a whole thing.
Yeah, now, were you able to get the Pope Mobile for the groundhog to ride around Marion and wave and everything? Or?
Well, the Pope Mobile was taken on February 2nd, but I think we have a very unique way of transportation that hopefully we'll have confirmed by the end of this week.
All right. And I was listening to the show yesterday, but I was working, couldn't call in. I don't know the names of all your listeners and everything. But the woman who won the plaque last year was couldn't remember why she won the plaque.
Yes.
That was Judy?
Judy.
Judy, all right. I was looking at my notes here, and she answered a lot of trivia questions.
See, I thought we did trivia on Groundhog Day morning.
Yeah, we did kind of, I don't know, a Family Feud thing with the 11 states that have live groundhogs and animals other than groundhogs and so forth. And my list shows that she answered almost every question. So she was right in there.
Now,
active listener.
Now this year, how is the groundhog pizza coming?
Well, you know, I've got the dough and everything, getting ready for that, you know. But it's got to rise and meld. But the pizza will be made, you know, that morning, fresh. And I know we're doing the groundhog pizza, you know, for the. For the groundhog to choose, spring or winter, whatever. That do we need anything else?
Well, at this point, my question would be two things. Number one, is there anything like the plaque last year that we're going to give to the winner?
Well, we could. I was talking to my manufacturing department the other day, the 3D printer guy, and I put an order in for a Groundhog like we had last year, but I haven't heard back yet how that's coming.
Well,
last year's Groundhog was a great plaque because it could sing and really nice.
Yeah, that was one of those things that was just great. And my other question was, and I said, I should know a lot of this by the end of the week, whether there's going to be transportation, whether there'll be a little bit of entertainment that morning along with the Groundhog, so on and so forth. But how do you see how the event is shaping up? Because from year one to year two, it changed. Obviously, year one, we just did a Groundhog Pizza. Year two, we actually added the Groundhog and the mystery surrounding the Groundhog. But as far as how the prediction will take place and anything going on Groundhog morning, aside from the Groundhog Pizza, do you think there's anything we need to tweak? Because we still have time to do that.
Well, I think we're on the right track. I mean, things are growing each year, you know, and I think if we can get Buckeye Guy to change his name to Groundhog Guy, you know, we're going to make international news before too long.
You know, how do you feel about the... Well, I don't know. He's kind of beholden to Buckeye Guy at this point. But how do you feel about the guesses that have come in? Now, really, three names. Several people have guessed, and it's actually become a topic of conversation, not only on the air but off the air. But the three main guesses this year seem to be Matt, Mary Ellen, and Carrington. Oh, and Sean. Sean got a guess yesterday.
Well, I have two guesses that I think are on the inside track. I don't want to reveal them at this point.
But whenever you want to tell me, let me know, because I would not reveal it even if it was right. Yeah, because I don't. Did anybody guess James Anderson last year? I don't think they did.
No, that took, I think, everybody by surprise.
I think it was kind of a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, even being in the studio there, I didn't really know who it was until they took the head off. And I go, oh, my gosh.
Well, you know what's funny about the whole identity of this Groundhog? Because there have been people on the inside of the event who have asked me who the Groundhog is. And I'll tell you, it's kind of one of those things I've really told nobody. And the reason is number one, I'm not saying that people are going to run out and tell people, but you could accidentally do it with somebody who you think is a confidant of yours, and then they might tell somebody, and then the telephone game happens, and then people know who it is. And the other problem is, I like to ask people who they think it's going to be. Like, I like asking Matt and Sean and Carrington and Pastor Craig who they think it's going to be, and if they already know, well, what's the fun in that?
Well, that, you know, if the word gets out that, you know, so-and-so, then people will attach in some celebrity status to that person, and they'll be camping out in their yards, and it'll be Groundhog Mania before you know it.
Well, it's also a backhanded thing, though, because we can't advertise who the Groundhog is going to be, and if it was somebody of note, and I'm not saying that it is, but if it was somebody of note, we can't say that. We can't say... So I actually think what's going to happen is, I don't think we're going to say anything more about it this week, except guess the person, and maybe not even next week. But as we get to Groundhog Week, because we've got a full 5-day week that week, because Groundhog Day being on Friday, I think I might, I'm not going to give good hints that are going to give away the identity, but I will give hints that will talk about the popularity of the person. Is it a local person? Is it, you know, somebody who's at the station? You know, little things like that.
Well, I think this one of this week's top 10 lists will help you know, put some hints out in that direction.
Well, and the only other thing I did want to say is because we definitely got to have the groundhog pizza, because that's how it all started. But is that still the best way to predict the weather? Do you think that's still the best way to go? Because I know we had talked about that at one point.
Well, you know, I've talked it over with a number of people, and we believe that it is the best way, you know. I mean, it's certainly much more reliable than knowing whether or not, you know, creatures saw a shadow or not, you know, because maybe he's just blinking and didn't really see the shadow, you know. I think this is a much more definitive way to predict the weather.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we're going to have 3 hours that morning from 8:15 until 11 to have this celebration. And I think we've got enough people involved, and whoever is in the groundhog suit, obviously, we'll get to talk to them that morning. So regardless of who it is, there'll be a conversation that morning. So I think it'll be a banner day.
Well, that, and I know we've got many multi-state listeners from, and there was a groundhog in Idaho, and I think Boise Bill, and so maybe the Idaho listeners can call in with what that groundhog predicts to their local weather.
Yeah, it'd be good to hear what other things happened. And now, last year, were we opposite of Buckeye Chuck, or were we on the same page? I couldn't remember.
I can't remember what Buckeye Chuck predicted last year. I'd have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, I remember James Anderson came in and told us, and I can't remember if it was the same or wasn't the same. But I do know that we're at 100%. So there's a lot of pressure this year, because either we're going to go to 50% or stay at
100%. Yeah, they had a stuffed groundhog. I'm not quite sure what the stuffed groundhog predicted.
You know, they do have a stuffed groundhog. I've been holding off a story all week on Buckeye Chuck, because I don't want anybody to think that this event has anything to step on their toes, because that's why we do it at 8:15, because their event is from 7 to 8. You know, it's over by the time we do our event. So I don't want to think we're stepping on the toes, but I do know some, because there was a whole big bust-up last year when it came to that, which led to the fake groundhog. And there's a whole little story there that I've been holding off on. Maybe during the break I'll get what I know about this, because, again, the news vacuum we live in, these things are not really being reported on. But maybe I'll talk about that. I don't have the paper in front of me right now, or I do it right now, but I don't have it. Yeah, maybe during the break I'll go grab that paper.
But Marion is certainly the fastest-growing groundhog city in the world, you know, and so, you know, we need to really keep that ball rolling.
Well, and that's kind of how I see it. I really do that. Listen, they do their event from 7 to 8 with the original groundhog. That's the kickoff. And then we come in with our thing, which is more of an entertainment, guess who's in the groundhog suit, prize event. I mean, I just see it as an extension of the Groundhog Day in a city that has been very well known for the groundhog for 40 years now.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any issues there.
No, there isn't.
No. So we'll keep plugging away as the week goes on.
Yep. All right.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
I'll see you soon. All right.
All right. Bye. All right, well, a lot of guesses when it comes to the groundhog. Yeah, we did get a guess yesterday from Sean. So now we're up to 4 people. Is there anybody else who you think the groundhog might be at this point? We've had Sean, 1 guess for Sean, several guesses for Mary Ellen, several guesses for Matt, several guesses for Carrington. Other than that, I don't really know at this point. Who do you think the groundhog is? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. The big extravaganza on February the 2nd at kicks off at 8:15 a.m. The groundhog will be here at 8:45 a.m. But there's a whole thing going on with this now. There might be some special transportation with the groundhog. I should know that by the end of the week. By the end of tonight, I should know if there's going to be any entertainment that morning. I should know that tomorrow morning. All this stuff's coming together, and it's going to be fun. And really, that's all this is about, fun. Now, we know I don't even know if I should say this, but we know that groundhogs cannot predict the weather. And certainly our groundhog cannot predict the weather. It's a person dressed in a groundhog suit. But it's fun. That's what this is about. In the middle of winter, it's fun to do something like this. And again, go to Buckeye Chuck. Buckeye Chuck has been there a long time. It's a very important event. Spam sandwiches and all. Go to it 7 to 8 that morning. I would be shocked if you didn't go to it. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, anybody you pick to do that groundhog has got to be a little bit notable.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting because last year, I don't know if people were... I don't know if they were surprised it was James Anderson. Nobody guessed him, which I thought was interesting. Or if they thought that was kind of a low bar. I don't know. If they thought it was going to be somebody who wasn't local. I really don't know what they thought last year.
Well, you know, let's say you went over and asked your neighbor if they wanted to do the groundhog. And they've never, you know, if it was one of your regular callers, I could see, you know, they might guess that, but they've never been on the radio, never heard you. You know, how would anybody guess it was, you know, Joe Dirt, your neighbor?
Right, right. It's definitely got to be somebody of note. So, I mean, I would think, and again, without giving any hints yet, I would think it's either somebody they've heard on the station, somebody who's been a guest on the station, a regular, I would say. Somebody of note in Ohio, I would guess. And you know, you really could even say somebody of note nationally because people have guessed Mary Ellen, and I certainly think she extends beyond local. So, yeah. You know, there. I mean, it could be a national person. I'm not saying it's not. And many people have guessed a national person because two people, as far as I know, have guessed Mary Ellen.
You know, you was talking about... what was it? Kind of stripped my mind now.
The local politics?
Yeah, the interviews with Miranda and Sean.
Yeah.
You know, there's slightly differences in their stories. But, you know, anytime the police have eyewitnesses, and sometimes the eyewitness is not a good witness. You know, they can take five people that seen the same accident, and each of those people can have a little bit of difference in their story, but they all seen it with, you know, their eyes seen the same thing as your eyes did, but you aren't comprehending what you saw. You know, so the differences in their stories is, you know, that can be a little bit expected.
You know, I just want to say this, and I want to get back to this. Mary has just put a guess in, and it's a new person. She's guessing Scott Schertzer as the groundhog. Mm. So, Mary, that's a good guess. Now, back to this story. Now, I felt that Jason Schauber's story in Miranda's, I felt there was little nuances of differences in what they were saying. But on the whole, as far as the people who were at the meetings, what was said in the meetings, I mean, I felt they were pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, when you get two people who are pretty well saying the same story and definitely have different opinions, I think Miranda thinks she should stay in that position, and clearly Jason Schauber does not. It's interesting, though, that when it came to the meetings that led to her resignation, they were pretty well on the same page. And who was at those meetings? I think those lined up perfectly.
Well, the person that did those threats to her, I mean, they didn't come out and, you know, make a big point, you know, but, if, you know, they insinuated about her job and stuff like that. You know, that person should be fired. And if that's the mayor, you know, we should appoint a new mayor. We should have another election.
Well, I'll tell you something that's going on in that whole mayor situation. If people feel that threatening her livelihood, her house, her kids, her family, needs to see the mayor go. We'll see what I think Monday night's going to tell a tale in that, because there was no city council meeting this past week because Martin Luther King Day. So really, since this all came out with Miranda and Jason, they haven't had a meeting. And I believe that Jason, as he said last Friday, is going to ask some questions of the mayor next Monday. And I don't think he's been asked anything like that in a public forum since everybody heard the story. Now, what will that bring? I don't know. I felt Jason had a bigger problem with the meeting that took place a couple weeks ago after the first of the year, where Bill and Tom Robbins went into Miranda's office and said, hey, is everything still on track for you to go over to transit? And she said, well, no, I might have changed my mind, Bill. And he gets red in the face, and she said I know what an angry dad looks like. And then he says, well, maybe the job might be not be on the table. I think Jason, it seemed on Friday, if you listen to the interview, he really had a lot of problem with that meeting because he felt that certainly could be construed as a threat.
Yeah. And that's wrong. You know, I mean, that kind of threat or sexual harassment threat, you know, they all have affect the person, you know, not the same, but they're both of them are going to affect the person. You know, if you think somebody's trying to take your job away and, you know, you got family and kids and stuff, you know, that wouldn't be fun to, you know, have to go through that.
Well, I'll tell you the interesting thing. And this goes, it's certainly, like I said, I want to make sure that it's not just me. It's everybody who's doing things at this station. You know, Matt Carrington, Sean, Adam, Terry, Linda, Pastor Craig, the whole gang. You know, people listen to this station. And I'll tell you, if anything reinforced that, it's been the last week. I've never been so approached, I don't think in the entire time we've done this station, about an interview as this one. It seems as if everybody heard these interviews. And up until yesterday, the guy in the checkout line, hey, I had no idea who he was. Hey, thank you so much for doing those interviews. We learned a lot. Do you think this person's going to come on, keep up the good work? I mean, it's kind of interesting to the degree that people are listening.
Yeah, Matt's really coming on. You know, when he first talked and was with you, if you was talking about something, you asked him a question, he might give you a little short answer, but not, you know, go on. But I listened to a little bit of his show the other day where he has to be like you. He has, you know, everybody out there, he's talking to them, and, you know, he's got to come up with things to say. You just can't have dead air time, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and I... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just saying I have felt that, I mean, it takes time to develop that because I hope people understand that Matt and Carrington both are you know, they're, sometimes we forget this in radio, you know, Matt's just 20 years old and Carrington is 22 and, you know, they had no broadcasting experience at all.
Right.
So,
old men.
Yeah.
You know, Carrington, you see, never there at the fair. And,
right.
You know, got her on the microphone, and you knew her there from Kroger. So you know that was a good fit for you to get her in there.
You know, but to me, it's the chemistry. Honestly, I say this to people all the time: you can't just get two or three people and throw them together and make a good show. And I think anybody who's listened to the Friday night show, or anybody who's heard them any other time of the day they're on, or who watches the shows on YouTube. And again, I'm not saying anything bad about the people who've done those shows before. I'm just saying that this group, to me, really works.
Well, you can kind of tease them, you know, a little bit without them, you know, taking it personal, you know, going off.
Yeah, you're right.
Like Carrington changing her shirt there in a car and stuff like that, you know.
Right, right. Nothing's...
She could have got, you wouldn't have to say that, you know.
Right. And there were people in the past, and, you know, I certainly don't want to bring up any names, but there were people in the past who were just a little timid. and they would not have, I knew that would not have worked for them to bring up stuff like that. But with her, she's very open and honest, and Matt's very open and honest. I think they both speak very well, and I think they give their opinions, and I think that's what makes it work. And I would also say that about Pastor Craig. Boy, Pastor Craig has turned in, and maybe it was this way all the time, and we just didn't have him in a panel show. I think he does a tremendous job on the Friday Morning Exchange Club show with Matt and I.
Yeah.
So I think we're having a wonderful time with that particular show, and I think the two shows he does on the station, the interview he did last week with Tracy Richardson was great.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so I could not be more happy with the group that we have right now, because and Adam gets things up on the internet so fast that if people miss him, they're right there, and does the news and weather every morning. I just think it's exactly the right team to have right now. I think things are just percolating, and I think that's why people are listening in a great degree, is because we've got something for everybody. And I always think for a long time we neglected hearing from younger voices, and we certainly don't have that problem anymore.
Well, I'd like to see Glenn come back.
You know, I don't know
that... He's a good one for you to talk an hour with about political stuff, because that's his innards, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I will tell you that I would not be surprised if Glenn came back at some point. I don't know that he would do as much as he did before, but I think it's certainly, you know, I have not talked to Glenn about what he thinks about all this hubbub that has gone down since he did not win the election. I don't know what he thinks. I think it'd be interesting to know.
Yeah.
After he was running for mayor. So, on the whole, who do you feel the Groundhog's going to be?
Oh, I haven't really thought about it.
I think it's going to be an interesting morning. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
I wanted to tell you, too, I was on YouTube last night, and I came across Shady Maple Smorgasbord.
Oh, yes!
In Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And boy, that place is awesome.
You know, it's been, gosh, what year was I there? It would have been 21, probably, 2021. And my goodness, I'll tell you, that is, they have got the food. And it's a nice place, and I was there during the height of COVID, and it was still line out the door. That was a great experience to go to that place. I enjoyed that.
The guy went up there with his plate, you know, it was empty, nothing on it, and he was getting a slice of prime rib. Now, that guy sliced that prime rib 3/4 inch thick, anyhow, and a great big slab that filled up the whole plate.
Well,
that would cost you, if you went to a restaurant, that piece of prime rib would cost you the same amount you paid to eat there. And you got so much more.
Oh, absolutely. It was a tremendous place. I mean, I forget what we had to pay to get in there. I mean, it was, you know, more than a regular restaurant.
$22.
Something like that. But, boy, you have to wait to get in there. And
the line there.
Oh, yeah.
It was out the door outside about 75 feet or so.
Oh, it was a fun experience. And I went, it was winter, I think. I mean, it was I think early March. Something like that.
Cold.
Yeah, it was cold, but not horrible. Because I do remember walking around outside, so it must not have been horrible. But I will say that, Charlie and Jeannie Evers had been going there for years. So I think that was one of their favorite spots. And, I have nothing but good things to say about that place.
That'd be a good place maybe for you to invite Jeff Ruth to.
Oh, I don't even know if they have enough food for Jeff Ruth. You know, you take him to all the... He really takes that seriously, all you can eat.
I haven't heard anything about him in the news or anything.
You know, the only thing I know about Jeff... I mean, I see him quite a bit. I'll run into him in the grocery store or out in public. So I do see him quite a bit. But I do know that he's no longer doing sports. He was working for another station, and he was doing sports for a while, and I know they pulled that back. So I know he's not doing any sports anymore. I think he's just doing that 10-minute show that he does at some point during the day.
On what station?
Yeah, it's WZMO. I can never remember the numbers.
WZMO.
WZMO. See, we plugged another. I've plugged two Marion stations on this. I've plugged WMRN this morning. I've plugged Buckeye Chuck. I've plugged WZMO. I've plugged Jeff Ruth. See, I'm a giver.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if WMRN let you take over that Buckeye Chuck thing, because WMRN doesn't want to do any local stuff.
Well, I don't know what will eventually happen with that, but I certainly would like to see that that would always continue on, because I know Charlie put a lot of thought and time into that and was very proud of that. And whatever happens, it definitely should and will go on. And if it's us who helps continue that once they don't want to do it anymore, we'll be glad to do that, because we would never want that tradition to die.
Yeah, it's just what I was thinking, because WMRN, you know, I wouldn't. They did high school sports. They do that right now, basketball, football. But wouldn't surprise me if they quit that too.
No, and they're still doing it this year, though. So they're still. But if there ever came a time where they weren't, we would definitely be there to jump in.
On the sports thing?
No, on the Buckeye Chuck. Well, probably on the sports too. Hey, we got a break coming up. Call back in next hour. It's an interesting conversation.
Okay.
All right, here comes the break. It's a hard break in the business. We'll be back in 15.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it.